proceed to the final case, the sixth case, Hall versus the City of Chicago. Mr. Epstein.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Andrew Epstein and I represent the plaintiff appellant Ms. Anna Hall. The issue before the court concerns whether the district court properly applied the summary judgment standard in considering whether Ms. Hall presented a prima facie case of a hostile work environment predicated upon her gender. The lower court erred when it held that no disputed material fact remains as to, one, whether Ms. Hall's supervisor, Greg Johnson, harassed her based upon her gender, and two, whether Ms. Hall has not presented an objectively hostile work environment.
So what's your best evidence that the harassment she experienced was on account of her gender?
The best evidence of that is looking at the statements that Mr. Johnson made in the workplace in conjunction with the assignment that he had provided to her, which was, we contend, a phony assignment. That indicates sexual harassment. He made comments in the workplace such as slut, as woman, I have to go postal on that woman, whenever Ms. Hall was the only female in the workplace that was outside of his office. The assignment was a degrading and dehumanizing assignment. It was the assignment to look at fecal matter monotonously day after day for over a year and a half.
Like a classic make-work assignment, actually, if it was the same videotapes that he'd already reviewed.
That is correct. These were old videotapes that were that had been made for the private drain program that the city had instituted. Mr. Johnson had already viewed these tapes, or he had sometimes viewed these tapes. The record is not clear, but he had given this assignment to Ms. Hall with no purpose. He had not given her any instructions as to what she should be looking for, as to what she should do with her anything that she would be seeing in these videotapes. She, on her own initiative, understood that she should try to make something out of this, as you said, make work, and so she started taking notes on what she saw in the sewers.
Could we go back to Judge Wood's question, though, about what makes this gender-based? The reference, the use of the word slut was not directed at your client, was it?
It was directed at an individual that was appearing on a TV that Mr. Johnson was viewing in his office.
Okay. The question did occur why the Jerry Springer show was on in the office, but we'll let that go for right now. But it seems, frankly, like an awfully thin basis for concluding he was hostile toward Ms. Hall because she's a woman.
Well, the Sixth Circuit has found that the term slut is a gendered epithet.
Well, obviously it is, but that doesn't really answer the question.
And if you'll allow me, I believe Judge Posner in Eukness said that the secondary harassment, whenever the individual is hearing these terms being used in the workplace, is a limited analytical tool. Rather, it is more appropriate to analyze whether the individual is within the target area of such harassment. And in this workplace, it's important to note that Ms. Hall was one of two females in the workplace. She was the other female was a clerical employee who had no similar qualifications to which Ms. Hall had.
And Ms. Hall has, if you will, the non-traditional job for a woman. Ms. Cashew is doing something that women often do in workplaces. She's an administrative assistant.
Correct. That is correct.
So what weight are you placing, if any, on the fact that among the plumbers and the drain inspectors, apparently Ms. Hall's the only woman?
That is correct. And that is why we view that the comment that slut and woman are directly in reference to Ms. Hall, and Ms. Hall was intended to overhear such comments because she was in close proximity to Mr. Johnson whenever she was making them, thus bringing her within the target area of such derogatory gendered epithets.
So are there other cases that you can think of where, say, the only woman firefighter or the only woman police officer is subjected to degrading treatment where that's found to be on account of gender?
I would point the court to Huggerard versus Amory School District, in which a female daytime custodian received different assignments, more arduous assignments than her male coworkers. And the case was complicated in that instance because the plaintiff was the only female during the daytime shift. But the court held that the allegations of mistreatment were unmatched by allegations of mistreatment to men. So meaning that in Hall's case, she was the only female that was assigned this one task. The other inspectors had different assignments, went out into the field, occasionally reviewed these tapes if there was a question that arose as to whether or not the city should grant proper relief to a resident.
But what about the fact that, as the city points out, that she was entitled to a light-duty job?
The fact that she's entitled to a light-duty job does not mean that the city has carte blanche to assign her to make work and a degrading assignment. It means that they have the responsibility to provide meaningful work, as this court reasoned in Delgado versus Certified Grocers, meaningful work. And what's meaningful is inherently a question for the jury. And Judge Lefkoe, in this case, robbed the jury of its role in ascertaining whether or not the city's assignment constituted a reasonable accommodation for Ms. Hall's light duties restrictions.
Were you bringing an ADA claim?
No, we are not. But if I may bring your attention back to the Huggerud case, the court in there, that instance, not only relied upon the differential assignment that the female custodian had, but also upon the gendered epithets that were directed to her and about her in the workplace to infer that the discrimination was sex-based.
And is the term woman, does its use reflect sex discrimination in the workplace?
It is my opinion that in this instance, yes, it does, whenever you look at the totality of the circumstances directive. If you look at the assignment that it received, in which it was, as I said, a dehumanizing assignment because it was monotonous, if you look at the statements and if you look at the physical abuse that was directed only to her and not to her male colleagues, and if you look at the threatening gestures in conjunction with the threatening remarks, then I believe that you could infer sex-based discrimination based upon the term use of woman. I believe my time is up, reserved for rebuttal.
Mr. Hubbard?
May it please the court. District Court properly granted summary judgment to the city in this case because Hall failed to adduce sufficient evidence to support her hostile work environment claim. I'm going to specifically focus on the gender basis for her claim, and here Hall failed to adduce any evidence at all on the record that there was a gender basis for the purported harassment in this case.
I'm not sure that that's right. I mean, you don't usually have evidence of somebody like Mr. Johnson saying, I'm going to give you a meaningless job because you're a woman. So we'll put that to one side. She is, in fact, the only woman who is in one of these union trade kind of positions, plumber, drain inspector. And if you look at Johnson's deposition, he admits that he never uses the material that she has. He's keeping her away from the meetings, even though his only justification for having her review these videos is that they might play some role in the drain inspector's work, but he won't let her sit in on the drain inspector's meetings to make sure that whatever she's looking for is the most useful thing that they might want. He gives what appears to me a pretextual argument about union membership, because it's all the same union. There's a distinction between plumber and drain inspector. doesn't seem to play any role at all in what he's doing. I don't know. I think there's a fair amount of evidence that he's picking on her as the only woman who's trying to break into the male trades.
Well, Your Honor, I'd like to address those issues one at a time, starting with the job itself. And there's no dispute here that Ms. Hall, it was not just that Ms. Hall was a female plumber. It's that Ms. Hall was a plumber who admittedly couldn't work as a plumber. And so she was brought back by the city to find something that she could do within the scope of her restrictions.
Well, that's right. And the city could have had her sit down and read, you know, Time magazine every day. And it would have been just about as useful to the city on this, or a jury could so find, given that it's the same videos that she's looking at over and over again. We have to accept that, since that's the fact that she testifies to. And that Johnson never uses anything that she does, we have to accept that, because Johnson himself says it, and that's in the light most favorable to her. And, you know, you wind up with something that's about as meaningful as reading Time magazine every day.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, in Ms. Hall's reply brief, the citation that she gives for Mr. Johnson's purported admission that he never used any of the materials, he was actually asked, how many times did you use her notes? And he said, I can identify the number of times. But he did say that I did receive calls from homeowners and from aldermen's offices asking about the reasons for the denial of program funding. And that's the reason that I had her doing this, because I could go back to the record and pull something out and say, oh, here's why we deny program funding, rather than have to go back and look at an entire videotape, which had been problematic for him in the past.
But sure, he says that theoretically. But the truth is, the videotapes that he's given her are very old ones where the case is over. Again, you know, I can well imagine you're making an argument to a jury that this was potentially useful. Mr. Johnson's never going to be able to tell us if it's useful or not because he's just speculating. But he refuses to let her learn to read blueprints, which is a very low-impact thing to do, it seems to me. Somebody with her restrictions could do that. He won't let her sit in on the meetings to find something. He just seems determined to have her, again, looking at the same. Why would you look at the same videos over and over again? Seems like once you've looked at them, you've looked at them.
Well, Ms. Johnson, or Ms. Hall's testimony on that issue was not entirely consistent with her own journal that she kept. But putting that aside and accepting her allegation, that's true,
which
for summary judgment.
To. Yeah.
Mr. Johnson testified that he would bring Ms. Hall new tapes when she finished the ones that she had. So to the extent that she spent several weeks looking at the same tapes, it may very well have just been that she hadn't informed Mr. Johnson that she was done.
She says, I kept looking at the same tapes.
She does say that, but if
and
she
so
hadn't.
And so why do we have to take Mr. Johnson's word for it at summary judgment?
Well, even if we take her completely at face value on that, there's absolutely no evidence that the reason that she was asked to look at the same tapes was because she was a woman.
Well, Paul considered her assignment to watch the same sewer videotapes repeatedly with no instructions. That's a pretty crazy thing, too, to be a form of harassment. And I think that the connection to her sex is maybe the most serious thing to focus on here. But as I said, the fact is that she is the only woman, and there are cases that I can recall where when you're the only woman, you come in and you upset the apple cart, there's a jury could infer that you're being treated very badly because of that.
But in those other cases, such as Hogerud, which was cited by the other side, there was other evidence in addition to simply being the only woman who was given a particular assignment. In Hogerud, there were derogatory comments aimed directly at the plaintiff and her ability to perform her job. The interference that was going on was actually keeping her from doing her job. There was evidence that there was a conspiracy behind the scenes to put a man, replace her with a man by driving her out of her position. None of that is evident here. In those cases,
what
it wasn't simply.
What about the refusal to give her any other meaningful work? What about the refusal to give her directions, not even to say keep a log by minute, you know, of the videos or whatever? It depends if you're a glass half full or glass half empty kind of person, but there is, in fact, other material in this record.
Well, as far as the not giving her other work, there's no dispute that Ms. Johnson was not a house drain inspector, and although that may on the surface not seem that important, there were concerns that the union, who represented both house drain inspectors and plumbers, would have a problem with a non-house drain inspector being given.
But Johnson never cites that. He expressly denies being troubled by her status as a plumber. He says instead he doesn't like her chattering, her confrontational and insubordinate demeanor. If Johnson said anything about it, that would be different.
Well, Ms. Hall actually testified that she heard Mr. Johnson tell people, don't talk to her and don't invite her to the meetings because she's a plumber. That's her testimony on the record. That's not disputed because it's her concession. And in addition to that, Mr. Zander, who was the employee relations supervisor, said that after Ms. Hall brought her complaints to him, that he didn't understand the problem because he understood this was what she was supposed to be doing on light duty. And when he approached Mr. Johnson about why she wasn't given other tasks or being allowed to attend these meetings, he was told that it's because she's not an inspector. She's not going out to the field, so
but
she has no reason to be there.
She's doing inspector work. Your justification for looking at the videotapes is that the drain inspectors sometimes need to draw a line between problems that are reimbursable by the city, that out toward the street, and problems that are up at the house. This is not a plumbing job he has her doing. He has her doing an inspector, a drain inspector job.
Well,
so he can't walk away from that.
This isn't actually, what he had her doing was something to support his role as the supervising house drain inspector,
but
not to support.
But it's a drain inspector function. He's not worrying about plumbing. The videotapes have nothing to do with plumbing.
Well, Mr. Johnson believed that having that.
So would you agree with that? The videotapes have nothing to do with plumbing.
I would not agree with that because these were actually lines that ran from the house's drains down to the
drains.
City sewers.
That's where you can't even do it without using the word drain. And what's the city going to have to pay for? City obviously doesn't want to pay for materials that are, you know, or jobs that are the homeowner's responsibility.
Well, respectfully, Ms. Hall even acknowledged herself that her job as a plumber was to look in the written job description. That her job was to use her skills as a plumber to look at those tapes and to explain what was going on,
this
to write down.
This is this thing that she's required to write down that seems rather descriptive of what she's doing. I'm not sure it's her job description. And if she had said, it's my job description to run the department, you wouldn't be placing much weight on it, I suspect.
No, but it's certainly an acknowledgement by Ms. Hall in the record that she understood what she was doing, that there was some purpose to it, that it was related to the private drain program, that she as a plumber was supposed to review these tapes, she was supposed to write down her observations about them, and then that her supervisor was going to look at that. That's exactly what she was doing. And that for her to say that she didn't know what she was doing, that rebuts that testimony in the record.
Well,
from Ms. Hall.
She doesn't quite say she knows what she's doing. She doesn't know what the point of it is. She's sitting there looking at these videos day in and day out and filing empty pieces of paper about them.
But Ms. Hall has never raised any dispute that there was that against Mr. Johnson and the city's purpose that they put forward for this job, that
of
it did serve
not,
some role.
Of course not, because no one wants an article in the Chicago Tribune about some meaningless job that the city's paying a large salary for, and she keeps trying to get meaningful work. She's trying to get better than that.
Well, Ms. Hall says, I didn't know the purpose, but she has not disputed the purpose that's been put forward. There was a legitimate purpose here. It didn't serve the field.
Oh, I think she does dispute it, actually.
I think she says, I didn't know what the point was, and I thought that there was no purpose, but she doesn't say that she ever investigated that or that she asked what it was or that she talked to anyone who told her that there was, who understood the purpose, who told her that there wasn't. And there's no evidence in any event that Mr. Johnson said, it's because you're a woman that you have to look at these tapes.
Of course he didn't say that.
But there's no evidence either from which an inference can be drawn of that. I see that my time is up, but I'm happy to continue to answer questions if you have them.
No, that's okay.
So otherwise, we would respectfully ask that you affirm your honors.
Mr. Epstein.
Thank you. I'd like to specifically point to a comment that Mr. Johnson made to and about Hall. He said, if I go postal on the woman out there, and Ms. Hall is the only female in the workplace that sits outside of his office, it's definitely directed about her. Now, I believe in a question that Judge Wood raised, you asked that she was doing inspector work. She was reviewing old videotapes of inspections. In Pacino versus Verizon Communications, the Second Circuit held that when different rules apply on how to complete a job between males and females, then that can raise an inference of gender-based discrimination. Here, Hall had to review a videotape without a supervisor. Males reviewed videotapes with supervisors.
What was that last point?
Hall had to review a videotape without a supervisor. Males, whenever they reviewed the videotapes, reviewed it with a supervisor.
And that's so they could resolve questions about what inference should be drawn about who had to pay, right?
Correct. That is correct. Here, the male house rent inspectors knew what they were looking for because it was instructed to them. Here, Hall had no instructions and taken.
And initially, upon reentry into this program?
No. Whenever she was provided the boxes of videotapes that appeared on her desk, she asked, "What am I supposed to do with them?" Mr. Johnson responds, "You're a plumber. You figure it out."
So, is there a need after an initial instruction of what you're supposed to do in reviewing them to have that a constant? I mean, are there new things that evolve that you should be looking for that need supervision?
If the program evolves and there is a need for additional instruction, then yes, there is a need for additional instruction.
But there was never any to begin with.
And in light, so
they instructed the people who go into the field, who come back from the field and do the same work that Ms. Hall's doing.
Ms. Hall is not doing the same work that
I understand she doesn't go in the field. So that I understand this, people go in the field and also review the tapes. She does not go in the field, but she reviews the tapes. They get supervision as your position, and she gets nothing on the question of the limited work of reviewing the tapes.
Her work in reviewing the tapes is different from the manner in which the males were reviewing the tapes.
How is that different?
The males were reviewing the tapes if it were concerned a specific question as to whether or not an issue occurred on city property or on a private residence property.
Sure.
Hall's review of the videotape had nothing to do with that. Hall's review of the videotape had no purpose. She did not know what she was looking for.
I'm not tracking that. When you review the tape, is there a skill that you have which discerns whether it's a line that tilts toward the city versus the residential?
My understanding from the deposition testimony was that there is a sensor within the camera that is able to provide a location as to where the blockage or the issue exists within the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in reviewing the videos upon return to the house drain inspection division, I'm not clear how that applies. I don't believe there's any record evidence as to how you can ascertain where the issue occurs.
I'm just trying to determine how the viewing is handled by those who go in the field versus Ms. Hall, who does not go in the field, and why she was disadvantaged in her viewing capacity versus the people who go in the field.
Well, Ms. Hall was disadvantaged in the fact that this served no purpose because the males who were reviewing...
It serves no purpose if there's no baseline. I'm trying to establish, is there a baseline between the people who go in the field and view a tape and Ms. Hall's viewing the tape? That's all.
So do the people who come back from the field look at every tape they create?
No, they do not.
So she was looking at just a box of undifferentiated tapes, whereas they target particular tapes if an issue has come up.
That is correct.
And they do it with a supervisor who is apparently empowered to make some decision about that house or that case. And she has no such guidance.
That is correct.
And the supervisor is Mr.
Johnson.
Johnson.
Yes.
He's the only supervisor.
He was the only male supervisor during that time. There was no female supervisor.
No female supervisor. Right.
There was an individual house rent inspector who was sometimes acted as a supervisor.
But did I understand it? Ms. Hall comes back from her disability through the city program. Did she request this assignment?
She did not.
She did not. She would prefer to have gone back to the plumbing section?
And she made multiple requests to be transferred back to the plumbing.
That required a component of lifting that she was unable to carry out?
That is correct. Plumbing, yes.
So once she couldn't go in there, did she make a request for a division other than this? This seems to be related, it seems to me, to plumbing. I mean, she didn't go to the Department of Aviation.
There are other opportunities within the plumbing division. And if you see in the record, in May of 2005, whenever she transferred back to the plumbing division, she was productive. She read dig sheets. She read blueprints, things of that nature, which are not limited by her medical restrictions.
Did she seek transfers out of this as this? As she sees that meaningless work occurred, she seek to leave this division?
She is no longer employed by the city.
No, no, but did she seek to leave during the period? I mean, seek a transfer. I don't mean leave the city employ.
Yes, she did. Within 2 months of this singular assignment, she requested a transfer to a different division. With that being said, as I believe that the Judge Lefko erred in taking these questions of intent and whether or not the motive was gender-based, whether it was plumber-based, whether it was personal animosity, away from the jury. And she also robbed the jury of its role in determining whether there was an objectively hostile environment based upon the totality of the circumstances, because she disaggregated the effect of the assignment and the exclusion from departmental meetings before analyzing whether the individual statements rose to a pervasively and severe hostile environment. For that reason, I ask that you reverse the district court with regards to the single claim and remain for trial. Thank you.
Thank you, City Councils. Case is taken under advisement. Court will stand in recess.